your vocal warm-ups?
Yes.
Are you still trying to figure out what it means to be a journalist? Well, so are we. Welcome to Small Talk, Big Topics.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Stephanie.
Welcome back to Small Talk, Big Topics. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the story of Sunil Tripathi, a Brown University student who was wrongly accused of being a suspect in the Boston bombings by Reddit, journalists, and news organizations. So first, Stephanie and I will take you through the story a little bit, and then we'll have a little bit of a discussion about it. Our story begins on March 16th, 2013, when 22-year-old Sunil Tripathi disappeared. And his family turned to social media to start a campaign to get the Brown University student's face out there to the public to kind of gain support of everyone around them to help find Sunil.
Then nearly a month later, on April 15th, the Boston Marathon bombings took place. And unfortunately, they killed three people and injured over 260 of them. And evidence showed that these bombs were homemade from pressure cookers. Needless to say, the public was enraged, and the social media platform Reddit responded very quickly. A subreddit page called Find the Boston Bomber was created, and the users treated it like a sort of citizens' investigation. People started sharing photos from the day, and then, 3 days after the bombing on April 18th, FBI released photos of the suspects. Suspect one and suspect two. From there, Reddit users started narrowing in on the clothing and the backpack brands. They were determined to find out who these guys were. Then a new step in the story happened, and that brings us back to Sunil Tripathi. On Twitter, one of his former classmates, Cami Mattiola, said that suspect two looked like a guy from her town who had disappeared. And she then confirmed that the suspect was in fact Sunil. She said that he actually did it, if you can believe that. Just from the fact that he looked slightly similar to this very blurry photo.
It's so crazy. And then after, other news organizations started picking it up. So one Reddit user said that they heard Tripathi was confirmed as a suspect on a Boston police radio, which was later debunked. BuzzFeed reporter Andrew Kaczynski said that Sunil was a primary suspect on his Twitter. And even a CBS affiliate in Connecticut tweeted it. This story just took off without having any supporting evidence to show that Sunil was actually a suspect in the Boston bombings.
So after the tweet went out, media vans and reporters started swarming the family's house. They were calling them nonstop, trying to get a quote. They were harassing them from this tweet and also this one coincidence that this photo happened to look like this guy. I mean, if we all happen to look like a blurry photo, you and I would probably be suspects to a murder too, Adrian.
That's correct. And the sad part about it is that his family was hoping to get a call about finding their son, not about him being a terrorist. So they were hesitant in picking up the phone because they didn't know whether it would be another media subject harassing them or if it was actually valuable information in finding their loved one.
They even said that Sunil's sister was called 58 times between 3 and 4:15 a.m. that day. That's how bad it was.
So then, that morning, the FBI released the names of the suspects on April 19th, and Tripathi's name was not even on that list. So within 24 hours, this family went from their son missing to their son being a suspect in a terrorist attack back to their son missing.
It's amazing how much damage was done in a matter of under 24 hours to this poor family. His name will never be the same again.
And it was all through social media with no evidence.
And the craziest thing is that the mainstream media supported it and continued the traffic of using his name.
That's correct. I'm confused how they didn't verify their information before broadcasting him as a suspect.
So after the Tripathi's family name was dragged through the mud, on April 23rd, Tripathi's body was found in a river in Providence. He died from suicide a month before the Boston bombings.
This had to have been such a dramatic and terrible time for that family. And to think that now when you Google search his name, it'll forever be linked as him being a suspect in the Boston bombing. So his whole entire legacy that his family remembers him by is completely destroyed by this one tweet. So I think it's important for us to discuss how this citizen journalism affects stories, how it could hurt people, how it could help us in gathering information and distributing information. I definitely think that it has some positive and negative impact.
For sure. I mean, social media in itself is this new wave of journalism. At the end of the day, people are watching less broadcast news and they are relying more heavily on social media for their news. So we have to be so careful because a lot of this citizen journalism is coming from people who are not making sure that there's any evidence or any sources supported by this information before they tweet or post. It's just too easy.
And I also think that in today's society, we live in a society that's so focused on instant gratification that whenever these people think of something, they post it. They don't care if it's right or wrong. They don't get any backlash for it. But the fact that international broadcasts, local broadcasts, newspapers, magazines, other social outlets, they all picked up Sunil Tripathi's name as being a suspect, I think was a very big mishandling of this investigation.
Well, and just like you said, in this instant gratification world where we want to see it now, how can we fight it? At the end of the day, they're businesses and they rely on this traffic. It's so scary that it's turned into this. It's like we're snowballing into this pace that we can't even keep up with now.
But it's a journalist's responsibility. Like, one of the core principal values of being a journalist is verifying your facts. And going off of a random Twitter account is not a way of verifying your facts. We still need, as journalists, to take the responsibility for reporting correct news.
And you're right, because if we don't have that, what do we have? And we have to be able to draw a line in the sand between your friend down the street who decided to tweet about something and somebody that's from a mainstream media organization. We've got to be able to trust them more that they have verified their facts and their sources. Let's hope, right?
I'd hope so.
There's actually an interesting quote from Sunil's sister about this very thing. She said, "What was very scary was instead of traditional media holding the line and saying, we are going to stick to corroborated truth and evidence, they kind of fell into the same vat of ups and downs that existed in the social media space, and it's very dangerous." So to her, that's where things really fell apart. You expect this from this social media crazy witch hunt, you know, but once the mainstream media started confirming it and started reporting on it, that's when it felt dangerous and scary. So Adrian and I have done some searching on the internet trying to find videos of these broadcasts of them talking about Sunil, but they've all been deleted, as they should be. But news organizations didn't really step up and apologize and, you know, take back their statements. Even some of the people who shared it on Twitter didn't. I saw there was an apology by the BBC, and CNN did do something very kind in the sense that when the family, after his name had been cleared, the family asked if they could help share the story. So CNN did bring the family on air and try and say, help us find Sunil. Even that was before they found his body. But one person who really did say they take responsibility and they could have done more was the former general manager of Reddit. He said, "Though started with noble intentions, some of the activity on Reddit fueled online witch hunts and dangerous speculation, which spiraled into very negative consequences for innocent parties. The Reddit staff and millions of people on Reddit around the world deeply regret that this happened." He also goes on to say that he wished that they had shut down the subreddit investigation sooner. He really did take responsibility, which I think he should, even though I don't know how much you can do in a public forum to stop people. What could we do?
Yeah, because the whole thing is that we have free speech and we have these public forums to kind of speak about our thoughts and our opinions and things like that. I think everyone learned a huge lesson from this, and I think news organizations have to kind of do a double take whenever they plan on reporting something that was tweeted or on Reddit. They need to verify their facts. They need to make sure that they're reporting the truth, because it can be so damaging to that individual and that individual's family.
I think overall we need to be extremely careful when it comes to these crowdsourcing investigations that are happening and, you know, what social media is doing to us as journalists. And I think we need to hold back on the amount of influence it has.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Small Talk, Big Topics.
It was my pleasure. I love being your partner in figuring out the world of journalism.
Figuring out how to be the best journalist we can be.